Jesus said, "Follow me." When I was at junior school, I remember one of our local police officers came in once a year and told us all about stranger danger, which basically boils down to a group of 7 to 10-year-olds being told that if someone comes up to us and offers us sweets, don't follow them, but get away and tell a trusted adult. We're taught from an early age to be suspicious. Fast forward roughly 30 years, and we live in a world in which we see videos where we see famous people talking that might not be real. Manipulation has always been a skill humans develop and use for dubious purposes. We only have to look in our history to see the many cases and many harms and uses of propaganda. But now it can be created with such speed and low cost that it can be difficult to decipher the trustworthy from the deception. We have to learn for survival to question everything we see, we hear, and we read. Follow me. That's what Jesus tells us, and that is what he told the people throughout the Gospels. We have to trust these words. To trust Jesus' way is not naive, but it is certainly countercultural. Jesus does not ask us to lose our critical thinking or to censor our questioning. But in living in Jesus' way, he pushes us to be less cynical and to live in hope rather than in gloom and despair. Jesus offers a way of living that challenges us to live a fully transformed life. One that will change us and the world around us. Jesus said, "Follow me." These two words Jesus uttered to those around him, as we've heard in the latter half of today's gospel passage. Two words that could have changed their lives if they acted on them. In the ensuing exchanges, Jesus told his would-be followers the truth of the impact on their lives if they followed him. To the first, Jesus responded with a rather seemingly cryptic, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To follow Jesus Christ means that there will be a cost, and that cost is likely to be higher than we think. Because entering into this new way of being will change us. Think about it. We cannot truly expect not to be transformed by encountering God. We should expect to be changed in how we act in our relationships with people, in our relationship with money, in our relationship with God's creation. To the second, Jesus responded when a man said that he would follow Jesus, "But first, let me go and bury my father." Of course, it is possible that the father was not yet dead. If he were, would the man be there in the crowd? As he would have been ritually unclean. But if his father was dead, Jesus challenged the expected religious practices. The opportunity to follow Christ was before this person, and Jesus was expecting him to leap at it. But he wanted to wait for a time that he thought would be more convenient to fulfill what he thought were his obligations. Jesus' invitation to us is not like a party invitation that we might back out of if we have a better offer coming along. It is something that needs to be grasped with both hands, even if it will change our life. The third would-be disciple said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus responded with the imagery of someone trying to plow but not looking where they're going. We, of course, may not have much experience of plowing, but just imagine driving your car while looking everywhere except at the road ahead. In these three short exchanges, Jesus laid out his expectations of his disciples. Jesus said, follow me. And apologies to linguistic purists, Christianity is not a noun. Christianity is a verb. We're called to action to follow Jesus Christ, which requires us to trust in the power of God. It requires us to walk away from a life that is self-serving into an existence that is serving the kingdom of God by loving others. The call to follow is a call to be disciples of the way of love, as Bishop Michael Curry puts it. It is more than an intellectual curiosity. It is a life of change. Jesus said, follow me. The way of Christ requires change. And there is a cartoon somewhere in the depths of the internet that portrays our aversion to change. The cartoon depicts a preacher asking the congregation who wants change, and nearly everyone in the congregation puts up their hands. Next, the question is, who wants to change? And fewer hands go up. The final query is, who wants to lead change? And one hand goes up. Change is hard, yet we can change through God's grace. Jesus said, follow me. Our second lesson we heard today from St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia is a reminder of what it meant to follow Christ, the impact of the change. It is not the use of the newly found freedom for our own selfish interests. Rather, it is for the loving of our neighbors as ourselves to be the guiding principle. And when we fully enter into this way of love, the fruit of the Spirit is born forth. We see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, rather than, as St. Paul puts it, the works of the flesh. We have entered into this life through our baptism. But sometimes we need to go back to the original call and see if we're living out our baptismal covenant. There may be lies that we're telling ourselves. Ask yourself, can you see the fruit of the Spirit in your life? How is your self-control? How is your generosity, your faithfulness, your gentleness? How is your peace, your patience, your kindness? How is your love? How is your joy? We may need to hear the call of Jesus again. Jesus says, follow me. To follow him in all aspects of our lives. To change our ways that we may be transformed into Christ's way. The way of truth. The way of life. Christ says to you, follow me. How are you going to change to live the way of love in your life? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.